supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about hijab fashion in the view of Islam. Please listen to this episode. Salamu Alaikum. Today is Friday, 3rd of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 17th of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter An-Nur, verse 31.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن أو بني أخواتهن أو نسائهن أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن أو التابعين أو التابعين غير أولي الإربة من الرجال أو الطفل الذين لم يظهروا على عورات النساء ولا يضربن بأرجلهن ليعلم ما يخفين من زينتهن وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون.
And tell the believing women to reduce some of their vision and guard their private parts and not expose their adornment except that which appears thereof, and to draw their head covers over their chests, and not display their adornment, except to their husbands, their fathers, their husbands' fathers, their sons, their husbands' sons, their brothers, their brothers' sons, their sisters' sons, their women, that which their right hands possess, or those male attendants having no physical desire, or children who are not yet aware of the private aspects of women. And let them not stamp their feet to make known what they conceal of their adornment. And turn to Allah in repentance, all of you, O believers, that you might succeed.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Allah has not mentioned the number of units or rak'ah in ritual prayers and that of ritual circumambulation of Kaaba, and has charged the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, with the task of stating the amount of measure of alms tax and many other issues, but Allah has paid attention to minimum issues of family, upbringing, and moral corruptions. By using female pronoun 25 times in this verse, Allah has paid attention to women. Thus, in this verse, the women's duties and responsibilities are mentioned.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need, anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
We're speaking about hijab fashion in the view of Islam. Be with us. The manner of dress of Muslims has drawn great attention in recent years, with some groups suggesting that the restrictions on the dress are demeaning or controlling, especially to women. Some European countries have even attempted to outlaw certain aspects of Islamic dress customs, such as covering the face in public. This controversy stems largely from a misconception regarding the reasons behind Islamic dress rules. In reality, the way in which Muslim dress is really driven out of simple modesty and the desire not to draw individual attention in any way. Muslims generally do not reason the restrictions placed on their dress by their religion and most regard it as a proud statement of their faith. Islam gives guidance about all aspects of life, including matters of public decency. Although Islam has not fixed a standard as to the style of the dress or type of clothing that Muslims must wear, there are some minimum requirements that must be met.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The role of modest fashion in Islamic culture. As for modesty and humility, adherence to Islamic dress codes emphasizing modesty and humility in attire remains paramount. We said if we want to make a balance, we need to take care of prioritizing values. Muslims are encouraged to prioritize their values and faith over fashion trends and societal pressures. The other factor that we named was expressing identity. Islamic attire can serve as a means of expressing one's Muslim identity and commitment to religious principles. And the last, but not least, avoiding extravagance. Muslims are advised to avoid extravagant spending on fashion and maintain financial responsibility. So all in all, fashionism from the perspective of Islam is rooted in the values of modesty, humility, and the pursuit of a deeper connection with the divine. While it encourages dressing modestly and avoiding extravagance, it does not prohibit following fashion trends altogether. The key is to find a balance between fashion and faith, where personal style and expression coexist with a commitment to Islamic values and principles. This balance reflects the nuanced interplay between cultural identity, spirituality, and the evolving world of fashion, making it a dynamic and significant aspect of the contemporary Muslim experience. Understanding and respecting these complexities are essential for fostering harmony and respect among diverse communities in our interconnected world.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special and beyond the clothing, behaviors and manners. Islamic clothing is but one aspect of modesty. Most importantly, one must be modest in behavior, manners, speech, and appearance in public. The dress is only one aspect of the total being, and one that merely reflects what is present on the inside of a person's heart. Islamic dress sometimes draws criticism from non-Muslims. However, dress requirements are not meant to be restrictive for either men or women. Most Muslims who wear modest dress do not find it impractical in any way, and they are able to easily continue with their activities in all levels and walks of life.
Thank you.
emphasize building faith first. This is one of the important tips for Muslim activists to deal with hijab. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Islam was sent to the Prophet gradually, and Muslims today must also implement Islam in this manner. That means that before anyone speaks to a sister about hijab, more important aspects of the faith have to be emphasized. The basic beliefs, pillars, the importance of praying, fasting, and etc. This gradual approach builds iman and conviction, and in fact was the method used by the Prophet. Jamal Badawi, a member of the North American Fiqh Council, says, "We fail to see any ayah, verse of the Quran, pertaining to hijab in the entire Meccan revelation that was given to the Prophet, that almost 13 years. The injunctions about more detailed aspects relating to the righteous Muslim community were revealed during the Medinan period, some in the middle and later part of that period."
There is a hadith that some people went to Imam Hassan and said to him, "You know, your father used to dress so with humility.
Right.
He was very humble in the way he dressed. And you, on the other hand, you dress differently, you know."
Right.
And Imam Hassan had some expensive cloaks.
Right.
And Imam Hassan replied, he said, "You know, my father was in a position where he was the Khalifa of all the Muslims, and the Muslims at that time were impoverished." Mm-hmm. And he wanted to make people feel that he is one of them.
Right.
And that is why you find that a lot of the Maraja, once they become a Marja, once they become Maraja, they are very humble. Because they have people who follow them that are poor.
Right.
But Imam Hassan at that time became a minority. As you know, Muawiyah took away the Khilafah, he usurped the Khilafah, and he became a minority, and his Shia became a minority. And minorities are mistreated. So Imam Hassan wanted to give an impression that no, we're not weak, and we're not
poor.
We're not poor. And with that, he wanted to keep the dignity of the mu'mineen.
Speaking about hijab, inshallah, we continue this interesting topic on this controversial and interesting topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget to listen to us, and till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, on the threshold of the blessed birthday anniversary of the heroine of Karbala,
The Holy Prophet's granddaughter, Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her. Here is a statement from her on the God-given status of the Immaculate Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. By God that He has honored us with revelation of the book, with prophethood, and His approved vicegerents. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about attending funeral processions and walking with funeral processions and its virtue in Islam. As you know, death is a reality, it's a truth that, you know, all human beings have to experience eventually. And the remembrance of death is something that we have been encouraged to adopt, because you know when we remember death, then it decreases our attachment to this world, and you know obviously this is a virtue in and of itself. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, increase the remembrance of the demolisher of desires. He was asked, O Messenger of Allah, what is the demolisher of desires? He said, death. For the most sagacious of believers are those who remember death the most and are the most prepared for it. And he also said, increase your remembrance of death. For any servant who increases its remembrance, Allah will revive his heart and ease death for him. So death, this is something good. And, you know, the way to do it is, there's numerous ways to do it. Like, for example, it's recommended for every believer to have his burial shroud with him in his house, you know, to look at it and to remember death by means of it. It's also, you know, it's also, this is also one of the reasons why we have been encouraged to visit the cemetery, because, you know, again, this is one of the ways in which we have been encouraged to remember it, to remember death. And another way in which we have been encouraged to remember death is to walk with the funeral procession, you know, the dead body. The Prophet said, "Travel, meaning walk 2 years in distance to do good to your parents. Travel 1 year to reconcile with your kin. Travel a mile in distance to visit a sick person. And travel 2 miles in distance to attend a funeral procession." Meaning, so if there's a funeral procession going on in a certain place, even if you have to walk 2 miles to get there, it's good to do so. And it's also been narrated that he said, "You must walk quietly and in deliberation, and when walking in your funeral processions." And in the book Ad-Da'awat, when the Prophet followed a funeral procession, grief would overcome him, and he would increase in speaking to his own self and lessen his talking. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "It is a must for the guardians of the corpse to inform the brothers of the deceased person of his death, so that they can attend his funeral and perform the prayers for him, so that they may be rewarded on account of him, and the deceased person will be forgiven." Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of attending funeral processions in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that we have Ali Nasser here, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, brothers from Sevier International School. So, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Good. We all are fine. Hope you are fine, inshallah. Let's get started. Inshallah, in this session, we will talk about Ayah 34 of Surah Al-An'am on page 131. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, turn to page 131, Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 34. Everyone, let's get started. Let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walaqad kudhibat rusulun min qablika fasabaru ala ma kudhibu wa udhu hatta atahum nasruna wala mubaddila likalimati llah ولقد جاءك من نبأ المرسلين.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Before we go to tajweed rules and practice the recitation of this ayah, let's mention some points about this ayah then, inshallah, okay? All right, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Okay. But remember that it's going to be a short explanation. Of course, you need to refer to the tafasir or interpretations and learn more. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Let's talk about this ayah. Allah Almighty says in ayah 34 of Surah Al-An'am, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. Apostles were certainly denied before you. فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا. Yet they patiently were being denied and tormented. Hatta atahum nasruna. Until our help came to them. Wala mubaddila li kalimatillah. Nothing can change the words of Allah. Wala qad ja'aka. And there have certainly come to you min naba'il mursaleen, some of the accounts, some of the adventures happened to the prophets before you, to the apostles. Okay?
Yes.
Alright, let's see what Allah Almighty says. Basically, Allah Almighty wants to encourage the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because look, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preaching Islam, was spreading Islam, okay, was inviting people to accept Islam, there were different groups of people. Okay, there were people who were accepting people, because it was quite the same as their nature, okay, fitra. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, first time started preaching Islam, he said, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. O people, say لا إله إلا الله, there is no Lord, there is no God except Allah Almighty. تفلحوا, to get what? Felicitous, to get a happy life, to be among the right doers. So there were different groups of people. A lot of people accepted because Prophet ﷺ was bringing them reasons and explaining why there is one God. How is it possible? Okay, talking about Allah Almighty and proving the existence of God for them, they were accepting. But at the same time, there were people who were opposing, who were confronting the Prophet and the pagans. When Ja'far Tayyar, okay, Prophet sent him with some of the Muslims to Habasha, okay, Abyssia, that day, okay, there were Christians. When Janab Ja'far, okay, Tayyar, talked and argued, okay, with the scholars, with these Christian scholars, they accepted Islam. They accepted and they said, oh, what a beautiful religion. It's the same as us. We believe in God, you believe in God. That's right. But pagans in Mecca, the city of Mecca, they started confronting the Prophet. They started plotting against the Prophet, okay? They started plotting against the Prophet. Okay, and nowadays as well they do. Up to now, up to the day of judgment, up to the time Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam comes, okay, they will be doing this. So, this ayah basically tells the Prophet that don't worry. These confrontations, these kind of oppositions, okay, should not make you, sad. Should not bring sorrow and grief to you, okay? Confident. Tawakkal ala Allah, fa idha azamta fatawakkal ala Allah. Rely on God, trust God, the religion is the truth. When you believe in yourself, when you believe in your God, when you believe in what you do, okay? When you believe what you do is right, what you do is truth, okay? There is no falsehood into it, okay? Then you should be confident, okay? Then Allah says that a lot of prophets before you had faced, okay? They faced the same situation, okay? Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ كُذِّبَ means that the people, okay, attributed falsehood to them. They denied the prophets, okay? Rusul is an indefinite word. Indefinite word sometimes is used to show what? Majority, to show a large number. So a lot of prophets before you have faced the same situation. They challenge the same. Don't worry. This should not make you sad. Okay? So this is a natural thing, and it's not going to be changed. There will be always people who will be denying you. There will be some people who will be accepting you. So don't worry. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, guys, to learn more about this. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran. All right?
Yes.
Ready to move on?
Yes.
Yeah. Second part of our class, the Tajweed rules, and then inshallah, finally, we'll have the recitation. Recite a salawat, everybody, to get ready.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
All right. Walaqad kudhibat. Hussein, can you tell us about the letters which matter in terms of pronunciation? In this ayah?
Yes.
Okay.
The letter Qaf.
Qaf has a heavy sound. Qaf. Yes. Qaf. Make sure it's not Ka. We don't have this equivalent of Qaf in English. We have the equivalent of Ka in English. Kaf. But this is Qaf. Qaf. Okay?
Yes.
The letter Sad.
Mm-hmm. Sad. What about Dhal?
Kudhiba.
Yes. Dhal. Uh-huh.
Dhal.
Ra has a heavy sound. Saad, good job. Next.
Yeah, Hamza.
Hamza.
The letter Ha.
Ha. Ayn. Hamza and Ayn.
Yeah.
They are different, yes? Hamza. Ayn. Yes. Ha. And the other soft Ha. 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 They are different?
Yes. Yeah.
These are the letters, yes. These are the letters that really matter. You should pay attention to their pronunciation. Okay. The first rule. The word laqad, qad, the letter dal has an echoing sound because it appears sakin. How many letters are there? The rule qalqala is applied with?
Five.
Okay, tell us the letters.
Qaf.
Qaf.
Ta.
Ta.
Ba.
Ba.
Jim.
Jim and?
Dal.
Super. These five letters, whenever you see them appear sakin, okay, make sure you bounce the sound. Make a stopping sign, a sound on them and bounce the sound, echo the sound. وَلَنْقَدْ وَتَبْ حَجْ. Huh?
Yes.
So, وَلَنْقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُولٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ. رُسُولٌ. Remember that the tanween and in-un and the noon sakin, they have four different rules that based on the what? The letter, okay, that comes after them, we use one of those rules. Okay, here the rule says rusulun. After tanween, you have the letter mim. You should merge them. Rusulum with an extension and nasal sound.
Yes.
وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Min, nun, sakin, plus qaf. Based on the letter qaf, we hide yourself.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. Min qaba. Qaba. Look, qabalika, like laqada, echoing sound. Qaba. Qabalika. Fasabaru. Those prophets were patient. You should be patient, prophet, okay? Fasabaru. Ala ma kudhibu. Saad has a heavy sound, make sure. Ala ma kudhibu wa udhu. Hatta. The mad is not wajib. You can extend it or avoid it. Hatta atahum nasruna wa la mubaddila li kalimatillahi. The word Allah is pronounced with an a sound. Wa la mubaddila li kalimatillahi. Wa laqad ja'aka. This mad is wajib. Extend it up to 5-6 counts. Min nun sakin plus nun. Nun has tashdeed. We learned the rule of mim mushaddad and nun mushaddad. Do you remember? Yes. We should extend the sound 2 counts. Min naba'il mursaleen. You ignore the ya. Ya has a baby sukun sign on the top that says you should not read the ya. A circle one.
Yes.
So we mentioned the important tajweed rules in this ayah. Ready to practice the recitation now?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, listen carefully and repeat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا
وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا
وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ
وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ
وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِنْ نَبَإِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِنْ نَبَإِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Allah bless you, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevilla International Schools for cooperations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The last.
asked Savior,
oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. I'm Mustafa as your host, and with me is Brother Alavi in the studio. He has a PhD in philosophy and is an Islamic researcher. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing?
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
Thank you so much. So we've been discussing on this show different things related to the occultation of the 12th Imam. May Allah hasten his reappearance. And the topic that we want to discuss today, and the way I want to actually start talking about this topic is I want to relate it to my own personal life. You know, I grew up in a very secular environment where sort of religion and politics were seen as completely two separate things. You know, they couldn't mix. And as I grew up, I learned about, I didn't even know there was such a thing as, for example, as an Islamic government, right? It's something that I would say I learned maybe in my late teenagers, and maybe in my late 20s is when I really started hearing this word, Vilayat al-Faqih, which is, we translated as the supreme jurist. And the questions that I have for you, brother, today is related to this. You know, during the occultation, what is our duty towards, for example, our country's government, towards the Vilayat al-Faqih? You know, what are we supposed to do? How do we manage our day-to-day affairs living in this sort of confusing time when we don't have the 12th Imam among us?
We already said, I think, at the end of our previous show, we referred to this concept that all the prophets and messengers of God came to establish justice. And we said that justice or social justice is the lost treasury, as you beautifully referred to, the lost treasury of the human beings. And right, we are all in search and in thirst of this beautiful and important concept. So from Adam till Khatam, from Adam alayhi salam till the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them came to establish justice. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al-Quran. And even he said in every aspect of their lives, the messengers came to establish justice. Right. Quran, the book of God, emphasizes on that. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes human beings to be in search and in look for this justice. So it means this is very important for us. And we have sunset. We know that how important it is for us. When we go, for example, to a case in a court and we expect a justice to happen in front of us in our presence.
Well, I mean, even among our family members, very we true. Expect our brothers, our sisters, our parents to treat us fairly, for example.
Very true.
Right?
This is, I mean, and from every aspect.
Even in, I think even in nature, we admire the justice and balance you see in the ecosystem, in the sun and the moon. You know, these are all running on a just system, which we love and appreciate. We want to see that in human beings, right?
Very true.
But sorry, continue with...
Yeah, as you said, then you beautifully actually explained, I want to add that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, his attribute is adl. He is, because he's adl, he's just. So in case in our societies, the societies that we live in as human beings, in our nations, if a case happens, if a quarrel happens, so we expect justice to come at the end of the day. So if I refer to, I refer my case to a person who actually is my own friend or my own relative, so there is a doubt of biasness to come inside, right? So definitely we have to agree on someone or somebody to implement this justice. So let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us and who actually gave us, let's say, a book for our guidance. And he gave us, if I can even compare it even to a manual that was given to, let's say, product of a, but though it's not a good, actually, simile, but I'm just making it close to understanding. You see? Allah says that what? فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you have found, or if you have faced an issue in a quarrel, refer it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his prophet. And kuntum tu'minuna billahi wal yawm al-akhir. So if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day of judgment, so Allah give us the cue to Allah based on the rules and regulations that Allah has actually given us. We can refer this case to it. If not, to the Prophet. So let's continue slowly, slowly.
Okay, well, I'll allow you to continue right after this short break.
I'm at your service.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Okay, so we're back, and you were very beautifully explaining to us through the Quran and, you know, how justice is so important in our religion and in our way of life. And I do want you to, I'm assuming you're going to be able to connect this to my question, which is related to the Supreme Jurist, the Velayat al-Faqih. Yeah. How does that connect to that? You know, what is the necessity of that in during the occultation?
Very true. It's very easy. At the time that there is no prophet, what should we do? So, al-ulama warathat al-anbiya. That is, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets, right?
Okay.
That easy. But I want to connect it even slowly, slowly, not that fast.
Sure, sure.
Since you ask, I reply back.
All right.
So, we have still a lot to say. So, okay, we can say...
I just want to make sure that this is still,
definitely, we
still
shall
connected
go to
that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
At the end of the day, we shall go to that to see the importance of the scholars and among the scholars. Who are these Wali al-Faqih? Who is this Wali al-Faqih? Awliya. Okay. I mean, we shall discuss that as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ Haven't you seen that those who believe that they are Muslims and they believe that they are following the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Prophet from other previous prophets and even you, they are believers? But no, they are not believers because they refer their cases, their issues, their quarrels to those who are the people of Taghut. So they need, I mean, Allah orders us, if you found an issue, a case that you need to resolve it, to solve it, refer to the Holy Prophet, to the prophet of yours.
Okay.
But when they believe in you, but they refer their cases, for example, to those who do not believe in the Prophet, so it means that they are not believers. They just claim that they are believers. Okay. So, what is the solution? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. We have sent these prophets with clear proofs. So, no need for others to go. I mean, no need for you to go towards Taghut. وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. We have given them a book. I mean, in this book, they have the principles, everything. They can give you a solution through those principles that are available in this book. وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُونَ النَّاسِ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that they bring justice among the people. Okay? So, but if we don't have a prophet like what the time that we are, we don't have access to the Holy Prophet, what is the solution?
Right.
Allah, well, we have in Hadith...
Well, I'm going to add another question to that, just so that you keep that in mind while you're explaining this, is that the question would arise is that, well, what if I'm living somewhere, there aren't any ulama?
Very
true. I'm living in some country where it is a Taghuti government. What am I supposed... So I want you to keep that question in mind because that's a question that comes up.
Sure. So we said that at the time of the occultation, at the time of having no access to the Holy Prophet, so the Imams right after him who have been succeeded, who succeed the Holy Prophet, they cannot take the responsibility. So at the time of cultation of the Imam, al-ulama warathat al-anbiya, the scholars, and they have given us certain characteristics for these ulama, which kind of ulama are going to be the wali al-faqih. But back to your question, for those who don't have access to this sort of ulama, this sort of wali al-faqih or the supreme jurist in Islamic government? What is their duty?
Right.
They can do either. They can either refer to their representatives, because usually the wali al-awliya, usually wali al-faqih has some representative in different countries and different areas.
Right.
They can refer to them, and whatever they judge, whatever they do, is also a base, and then it can also it can be regarded as a hujjah, a proof for the person who is referring to them. But if he doesn't have access to that, it's on him if he can find a way to access them or contact them or connect them or communicate with them. There's another solution.
I see.
If there is no way for him, no way to access, no way to contact, no way to communicate, so it's on him to migrate from that place to...
Or learn.
From that place, or as you said, learn to become a scholar like the one that can actually be...
Can extract laws.
And but this also actually requires lots of endeavor and lots of trainings.
Okay, so thank you so much for that answer. I think that makes sense. And I want to continue the discussion right after the break. Okay, so we're back and we're discussing the necessity of a supreme jurist, a Walayat Faqih, and referring to them during the time of the occultation. And I believe you're explaining to us why that's necessary and why we need to refer to them. So if you continue explaining that to us, please.
So we said that in case for some people who don't have access to these representatives of these scholars, these supreme jurists, they can study themselves and they become alim. But the ones that we have been ordered to follow is some certain scholars. Al-ulama warathat al-anbiya, that's true. But al-fuqaha, again, we have al-fuqaha umana al-rasul, the jurists are trusted by the prophets. That's also true. But Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in a hadith, in a famous hadith, ordered us to what kind of ulama we need to refer to. Not every kind of, because there are lots of ulama in different areas, in different branches of Islamic knowledge or human sciences. There are lots of ulamas. وَأَمَّا الْحَوَادِثِ الْوَاقَعِ فَارْجُعُوا فِيهَا إِلَى رُوَاتَ أَحَدِثِنَا. Refer to those who narrate from us, but what characteristics do they have? They're not saying anything based on their own hawa or their own desires. And whatever they do is purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they try to actually prevent doing any action through their own desires. So these kind of ulama are recommended. Okay, so we have plenty of ulama in our era and time. So which one of them is recommended by others, by other jurists, to be appointed as the one who has the, who is eligible to be leading the ummah or to be referring to? So when, let's say, hundreds or 160 or 150 of them gather somewhere and elect and select one of them as the top jurist, so it means that they have the knowledge to choose the more knowledgeable among themselves as the leader of the Islamic ummah.
So you're saying that during the occultation, the way I understood this, the way you've sort of, from my own understanding, and probably in very, I would say, in simpler terms, would be that we always try to find the most capable person, the most competent person. Even if I was running a company, the people that I try to hire, I look at their skill set and I try to match it with the needs of that company. And to me, that model makes sense even in government, that we want people who are the most competent, who are the most honest, who are the most just and reliable, just as we would want in any other position of authority or power, right?
Yeah.
And I think that translates into the Walayat Faqih and having that. That's all the time we have for this episode. Let's see if we continue with the discussion in the next episode.
Inshallah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.